In just 8 days' time, the second tenure of Donald Trump as President of the United States begins when he'll be inaugurated on January 20th. Here, Taoiseach Simon Harris said Ireland needs to launch an all-out diplomatic and trade offensive in the US from late January onwards in response to the Trump presidency. But others have criticised Ireland. Former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer told the Irish Times last week that the Irish delegation in the US shunned Trump people over the past 4 years and made a big mistake betting the whole lot on the Biden administration. So does Ireland have some diplomatic making up to do? And does it have the skills and personnel to do it? In a moment, we'll speak with Dan Mulhall, former Irish ambassador to the United States. But first, we're joined by John Deasy, former Fine Gael TD, and who was the government's envoy to the US Congress during the last Trump presidency from 2017 to 2020. John Deasy, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Hi, Justin. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Now, there are some significant threats to Ireland posed by the Trump presidency around the areas of trade, tax and immigration. Does Ireland have the right connections, the diplomatic firepower and the know-how in Washington, D.C. to deal with those threats?
I think there's a deficit on the Republican side, definitely. Look, it's impossible to know if we'd be badly affected by this year's tax bill or tariffs just yet, or the immigration measures that are planned. But it's fair to say that judging from what Republicans like Howard Lutnick, who is the incoming Secretary for Commerce, has been saying, you know, we might have a problem. Because it's something I've been writing about in the Business Post, the need for thinking about lobbyists, Republican specialists, people who've had decades, members, key staffers, people who had decades of experience in Washington, and familiarity. And I think familiarity with Republicans is really the issue here, commonality. Republicans have control of government for at least 2 years. The dynamic in Washington has changed over the last 20 years. It's become more bitter and divided. But our way of doing business really hasn't changed. We have a four-year model, a diplomatic model. People come, stay for 4 years. There is very little continuity when it comes to relationships and contacts built up. So when the diplomat leaves, that continuity is broken. And I think that needs to change.
And so what should change then? I mean, are you saying that the government should spend money and hire lobbyists to advocate for Ireland?
I think all I can do is relate to my own experience from dealing with Republicans in Capitol Hill and the White House. And what I found was, when I was envoy, there were Republicans who needed familiarity with the person they were dealing with, commonality. They're clannish. They're extremely cliquey, and that's got worse over the years. I had worked for Republicans in the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, so it was easier for me to deal with them. It broke the ice when I introduced myself as a former Republican staffer. It meant an awful lot in some cases. What I found was they preferred dealing with political figures as well in some cases, and didn't want to deal with diplomats, and made that very clear. And in some cases, they also made it clear that they felt there was a bias in the Irish embassy towards the Democratic Party, whether that was true or not. But it does bring us back to the comments that were made by Sean Spicer, Trump's former press secretary, last week. It's worrying that some people around Trump might feel alienated by the Irish embassy and the organization we're relying on to protect our interests. But, you know, if I'm honest, was I surprised at his comments? I've heard similar comments made privately recently. Yeah.
And so, are you suggesting that the model we use in Washington, which is that diplomats staff the embassy, that should be changed, and that perhaps former politicians should be brought in as ambassadors? Other countries do that. Peter Mandelson is going to be the UK ambassador to the United States. And the Australians also have, I think, Kevin Rudd is there.
Kevin
so
Rudd, yeah,
so,
exactly,
so
yeah.
Is that the model we should be following then, in your view?
Many other countries have felt that they need that familiarity with the Republicans. So they've hired lobbyists, people who are skilled at what they do, who can get you in the door, have their phone calls returned. And they have also, in some cases, they put people in the ambassador's positions who have, for example, track records in international business, and they find that more effective. Is that something we should think about? Yeah, I do believe it's something we should think about. I mean, you know, what are we talking about here? The fear in the Department of Foreign Affairs, is that any step that would reduce their role in Washington would result in a slippery slope where, you know, the government might pick, for example, a civilian with, like I said, a track record in international business. And then that would turn into people being placed as ambassadors in places like London, Brussels and Berlin. But to be honest, I don't think it'd be such a big deal if, at this point, if we hired lobbyists. I don't think that's that threatening. I think it's, to be honest with you, it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Have you, as when you were envoy to the U.S. Congress, did you raise these concerns you had with government?
Yeah, I mean, this is a discussion that has occurred within government for years. At senior levels, you know, with the Taoiseach, absolutely. Something that people have thought a lot about.
What was the response when you raised those concerns?
It gets messy in governments when you start making significant changes. And when it comes to the Minister for Foreign Affairs, for example, you're relying on the civil servants that you deal with intimately to help you and make your life easier. And I think if you're talking about changing the major positions in a particular department, it can get messy within government. The one thing I wanted to say to you was, you know, Sean Spicer, that's fine, notwithstanding what he said. I think, you know, when I picked up the paper this morning and I read about Fergal O'Brien from IBEC, and he's talked about Ireland has become complacent. I think when someone like Fergal O'Brien says that publicly, who've had years of experience lobbying in Washington, I think it should set alarm bells off in government. I do think we have a deficit on the Republican side. And I think it wouldn't be a huge step, considering we just spent $11 million on an official residence in Washington, to hire some specialized help in Washington to help us.
Can I just ask you one final question before we go? One of the first things on the desk of the new government when it's appointed will be whether or not it's going to pass the Occupied Territories Bill. Yeah. Do you anticipate that that could cause problems for Ireland in the United States?
Yeah, well, some people have said that publicly that it might. The only thing I can say to you is this. I'm as horrified as anyone else when I look at Gaza. When it comes to the pro-Israel lobby in Washington, D.C., the one thing I don't know is how aware they are, firstly, of Ireland's position. But it's true to say that if they put their minds to it, they have so much influence. Could they damage Ireland? Yes, they could. And they're an incredibly influential group. But I don't know how aware they are of Ireland's position. But when people like Regina Doherty come out and say, we need to be careful with regard to the damage that could potentially be done, she's correct. And they have that kind of influence, yeah. And you would be a little bit worried about that.
All right, John Deasy, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That's John Deasy, former Irish envoy to the US Congress. Let's talk now to Dan Mulhall, who was Ireland's ambassador to the United States from 2017 to 2022, also covering the first Trump presidency. Dan Mulhall, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon to you, Justin.
What do you think of John Deasy's suggestion that we need to be hiring lobbyists to bat for Ireland, people who will mix it up politically in situations where diplomats might be more risk-averse?
Well, you know, maybe we should ask when we had an envoy to Congress during the last Trump presidency, what was the outcome of that? I won't go on. But we did on one stage hire lobbyists when the Organish alumina plant was subjected to sanctions by the US authorities because of the connection with Russia. And I remember very well, we talked to the lobbyists. They were very helpful. They, you know, they charged quite a bit. And they told me, look, you're in a better position to lobby than we are. And that turned out to be the case because we eventually got those sanctions lifted and Organish was able to continue operating. So I think this idea that there's a kind of a magic bullet that you can use. Look, every country in the world is recalibrating its relationship with the United States at the moment because there's a new presidency incoming in 10 days' time. And it's going to be very different from the first Trump presidency because Trump now has total control over his party, although he only has a slim majority in Congress, and that may pose problems for him. And the question is, how is this presidency going to pan out? All I can tell you is that for the last 2 years, everyone has known that this was a very likely or certainly a potential outcome, and we'll have been preparing. And, you know, our ambassador, I know, attended the Republican National Convention last year and spent a whole week there talking to Republicans. I mean, the idea that diplomats are so naive as to only talk to one side of the aisle, I think is just, you know, beyond belief. Diplomats understand that administrations change every 4 years, and you have to make sure. And for example, when I during the Trump administration, I had good contact with Democrats because I knew there was a possible change on the way. And likewise, when the Biden administration came in, I maintained my contacts with Republicans, including with Sean Spicer, who was a friend of mine, and so forth. So,
and what about the idea that Republicans would prefer to deal with former politicians? I mean, we've seen. Australia has Kevin Rudd, Peter Mandelson is going in for the UK. You know, what do you think of the idea of Ireland putting in perhaps a former Taoiseach or former Minister for Foreign Affairs to talk face-to-face, shoulder-to-shoulder with the Trump administration?
You see, the difficulty with that is that countries like Australia and the UK, and I know both of those embassies in Washington very well, they have huge embassies, right? So the ambassador is a figurehead. In our service, we have relatively small embassies where the ambassador has to do a whole range of jobs. And that's why I think you're better served having someone who has experience of how to run a diplomatic mission, who has been involved in diplomacy for 20, 30, 40 years, as our current ambassador has been, and as I was during my time there. So, I think bigger countries, you know, they may be able to find people who have the kind of skill set that that's required. But I think you have to remember that we have small missions, and therefore political appointees in Ireland would, I think, face much bigger challenges because they would have to do things that wouldn't be part of their normal skill set.
Do we need to change anything then as we approach the Trump presidency?
Well, I think we have to bear in mind that we're now in a new global environment. We don't know how it's going to work out. Making America great again can't be done with the stroke of a pen, but it is going to be a very different administration from the first one, and we have to be wary. And, you know, you mentioned earlier the Occupied Territories Bill, and I think we need to very carefully weigh up the pros and cons of that bill, whether it serves our interests, whether it serves the interests of peace in the Middle East and peace between Israel and Palestine, but also the risk that it poses to Ireland, because the Trump administration will have quite a gung-ho attitude in support of Israel. And, we have to be careful, bide our time, I think, and handle this thing with care, because there are potential implications for moving ahead with this, because we would be the only country doing it. I think the people who would be most pleased if we were to pass the Occupied Territories Bill would be the Netanyahu government, because it would undermine Ireland's standing in the United States. I'm not saying we shouldn't pass this bill. What I'm saying is that we need to weigh up very carefully its pros and its cons.
All right, Dan Mulhall, former Ireland's former ambassador to the United States. Thank you very much for speaking with us today.